till I got to the end of the road. Burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life. Counting down to get from that point.
Hello. Hey, everybody. I tricked you. You thought that I didn't have a podcast this week, but you were wrong. I do. It's just a day late because my guest this week had a very busy weekend, so we taped it just now, Monday. So it's coming out. It's either Tuesday morning or really, really late on Monday night. And I got a podcast with an amazing guest. I'm not going to lie, we had a couple of glasses of wine in her backyard. My guest this week is the amazingly talented Morgan Brayton. She is an amazing person. So many wonderful things about this woman. Her love of animals, her talent. She's so fucking funny. And we had an amazing time in her backyard just sitting, shooting the shit, having a good day. It's summer. Nobody really wants to do stuff in the summer, do they? It's just like you, I mean, I have all this laundry that I have to do, but it's nice out, so I'd rather just go to the beach with a friend or something. And now I live in a place that has beaches to the ocean. What? How am I not at the beach every day? It seems silly, especially since Adam got me one of those giant inflatable vaginas for Christmas. You know what I'm talking about? Those big pillows that you fill up with the wind and then you lie. They're worth every penny you would have to spend on them. And I think they're cheaper now than they were before because more people are making them. Oh, weird. That's weird. Supply and demand. I learned that. I learned that sometime. I think I was in junior high school. Yeah. It's been a fun week. What did I do? Didn't do too much. I had a really fun time at the Comedy Shocker in Vancouver. Mark Hughes and Sam Tonning put together that show, and it's like, when I moved to Vancouver, I was told that it was going to be, like, hard to be dirty, but I just, you know, we talk about that on this podcast, actually, that it's not really that Vancouver didn't want dirty comedy, it's that they weren't getting it, so they didn't know. And now there's a thing for it. There's a lot more comics in Vancouver that are being a bit edgier. And Mark Hughes and Sam Tonning are two of those comics, and they put together an amazing show at the Rickshaw. And I have to say, the Rickshaw is such an amazing venue. they bring people, they give us a theater for people that normally couldn't do a theater. Let's put it that way. They make it affordable, and they really care about artists there. So give it up for the Rickshaw Theater, and go and see a show there. They always have incredible shows there. And yeah, go see a show at the Rickshaw Theater right at Main and Hastings, right in the epicenter of Vancouver, where you could, it's just like an entertainment inside and out. what else happened this week? I don't know, not too much, not a lot. Still have the kittens, still have Eugene, he's still just the best ever. And I'm gonna be going to Edmonton and Calgary at the end of July. I ended up, you know what, saying, you know what, Yak Yaks doesn't want to give me any work in July. Kathleen's going to make some work in July. So let me just open my calendar right now. I'm really excited. There are going to be some really fun shows. Actually, this weekend, July 13th and 14th, I'm going to be on Vancouver Island. July 13th in Victoria, I'm doing Tinder Tales. And I'll be hosting those shows. And 14th, we'll be doing Tinder Tales in Nanaimo. I hope that that is right. I'm very excited for that. July 19th, I will be leaving and driving to Edmonton so that I can do the Black Dog on the 20th. On the 22nd, this is very important, I'm having my own show at my brother's neighborhood bar. If you grew up in the west end of Edmonton, you know exactly where this is. I'm going to do a show at Uncle Glenn's, and I'm so excited. And I'm working off the door, and it's just going to be fun. And Celeste Lampa is going to be on it with me. So July 22nd, if you're in Edmonton and you're not at my show, we're not friends anymore. Okay, unless you have a real good excuse. July 22nd, Edmonton. July 23rd, I'm going to host at Empress Ale House. I will be hosting in Calgary at Comedy Monday Night at Broken City Social Club on July 24th. And July 25th, I have a show in Airdrie. I will be posting all this stuff. If you are really, really interested about a show and I didn't tell you where it was, just send me a message on Facebook or Twitter, Kathleen_McGee, and I will let you know where it is. And I hope to see you out in Alberta in July. Very exciting. Yeah, this is a pretty quick intro because I want to go eat. I'm going to go eat something right now. Yeah, I hope you really like this episode. It was a really fun, interesting conversation. Morgan is a like incredible person. I'm really glad that we're finally friends. I've known about her for years and I've always wanted to, be friends with her. So this is really, it was really great that we could sit down. Our dogs met and her dog has problems with dogs. Sometimes he doesn't trust them. Well, guess what? Eugene and Bunbury got along and it was adorable. And, it was a really great afternoon in her backyard. I hope you guys are having a fantastic summer. This is coming up. I don't know when it's going to start. They don't tell us. They'll probably tell us the day before. But it, you may or may not know, I got through to the next round in Top Comic. And I'm going to need you guys so bad. I'm going to need you guys to vote for me online every single day. I don't know for sure yet if Americans can vote. It might just be a Canadian thing. But if you tell your friends in Canada to vote for me, this is, we can win this together. That's the whole thing. It's like we, it's not just me winning. You guys are going to help me win because I can't do it on my own. So I'm going to need you guys to vote. I'm going to be really annoying for 3 weeks and I'm sorry, but the top prize is $25,000. So I'm going to work. I'm going to work for it. It's going to be awesome. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for continuously listening and being patient with me when I get lazy. I try not to be lazy for you guys. You are amazing people. Everyone is that listens to this, that gives this podcast a chance. And I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. I don't know what, I'm just in a really good mood right now. Maybe I'm a little drunk. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And here is this week's episode. Kathleen McGee is a hot mess with Morgan Brayton.
Got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground.
Yeah, this podcast is not a snowball podcast. You know what snowball is? It's like the, I'm not talking about that disgusting.
I know. Where's this going?
No, we didn't get that filthy that fast. No, you know those, it's like a microphone that like sits in the middle
and just picks up everything.
Yeah, right? I don't love the sound of podcasts like that. Like some of them are good, but some of them it just sounds like people are in a room and you're listening to them chat in a room and
like they're on one of those conference calls in an office with one of those things in the middle of the table.
Yeah. And I had enough trouble when I started with this podcast because we had the recorder down way too low. So like the first four podcasts, people were like, we can't hear anything.
Right.
So that was fun.
And then we got it all figured out.
I know. I've had it for a year and the podcast has been good. I've been having fun, but it's been hard this summer getting people to come and like, oh yeah, I can do it. Yeah. Mm. But everyone's so busy and it's summer. Nobody really wants to sit around and chat, but
you just all summer have to go to people's houses
backyards
who have dogs
like
and backyards.
This? Yeah. We are
either that or you could just come to my house every week for all summer because this is where you'll find me.
Oh, I love it. I know. Like, okay. So this is Morgan Brayton.
Hello.
Is it Brayton?
Yeah.
I always mispronounced it for a while before really? I even knew you, I think.
It's just like it. It's like spelled. It looks. B-R-A-Y-T-O-N.
I thought it was Brighton for a while. I think that's what it was.
It's probably derivative of Britain. You know, there's. Remember Morgan Brittany from the 80s?
What was that one?
She's like
what was she in?
Soap star or something? Or
oh my God.
Anyways, it's like one of those like Brittany, Brayton, Brighton.
Yeah.
All those kinds of names. It's some derivation of Britain.
Yeah.
Probably somewhere along the line.
Somewhere along the line. And you're an actress. Is actress still a term or is it actor? Like, because nobody wants to be called a comedian.
Exactly. Now, isn't that funny that comedian sets my teeth on edge, but actress doesn't?
Like, if someone calls me a comedian, there's another one. There's another term, too, that is really, I don't like. I can't remember. But comedian is just like, oh, you're a comedian. I'm like, no, I'm comedian.
It has a different connotation. Like, it doesn't feel quite the same to me. Actress, it doesn't feel like you're belittling me. It's like, oh, you're a lady who acts. But comedian. And plus, people don't just say, oh, comedian. They go like, comedian.
Yeah.
Like, oh, isn't it cute?
What a cute little novelty you are.
Right?
What a nice little addition to this laughy show. A cute little lady telling some jokes.
Yeah, like, no, that's not. So actress, yeah. It's
yeah,
still
I'm
actress.
Fine with act. I mean, it's, you know, technically actor, and I usually go with actor, but I'm super not fussed about it there.
Well, it's such a crazy gender debate everywhere. Do you think it'll ever be just actor? Like, and do you think the Oscars will ever be, like, best actor and it's the best man or woman that year?
Well, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year with, I'm totally blanking on their name, but who plays Taylor on
Billions
and
yeah.
that whole...
Did she get nominated for something?
Well, yeah, they didn't, and it was, this was the thing. They were going to put them forward for a nomination, I think is how this went, and then... Like, how do we do that? And then there was a discussion about, well, can we? And they contacted the Oscars, and the Oscars said, it's just a label, and it's not, we're not going to disqualify you if yeah. you. So I believe they are nominated for best, you know, supporting actor or what,
yeah.
what have you.
Of course, they would go to the male side.
Right. Well, and I think that's just probably what they're. I don't know. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Will that ever change with the authors? I don't know. Will we ever not live in a patriarchy?
Yeah.
That's a bigger question, right? So,
well, and I also think that, like, I mean, yes, they might have a genderless section, but there's not enough genderless roles right now.
Well, and if they lump them all together right now, then the men would just win everything.
Yeah.
Because that's...
That's the way the
that
world
goes.
Works.
So it doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah.
If any of us would like to win any awards. But who knows? Yeah, who knows? That's why I think it's more when society changes and women in Hollywood get the same number of roles and the same, you know, interesting roles and get paid the same amount and that kind of a thing, then maybe the categories will just be best actor, best person doing some acting in a movie.
Yeah, because they don't have best female director, best female male director. Right. Like, it's, although they never give Oscars to women anyway. Like, directors anyway.
Do, but yeah. Are you guys okay over there?
Oh, they look good. They're having a good time. Our dogs met. Eugene met Bunbury.
When Eugene met Bunbury.
And Bunbury, you warned me before I came over. Yeah. You said, okay, we're going to have to do an introduction. And I've had other people be like, we have to introduce them properly in the yard, which is good.
Yes. Bunbury is, we've had him for about a year and a half, and he's very protective of us, and he's very anxious, and he's not great with other dogs when he first meets them. If he has a chance to meet them and calm down and sniff them and take a break and sniff them and make a weird sound in his throat like he's dying, he gets very overworked and he starts choking on his own whatever, but then once he calms down, he's totally fine. But of course, just walking down the street, we don't get that opportunity, and when he sees another dog, he goes nuts and tries to kill it,
and it scares people because they don't,
it scares people, or the opposite, that they're like, my dog's totally friendly, don't worry about it, and they let them off the leash. I'm like, my dog is not friendly, don't do that. And Buns just goes nuts and tries to kill the other dog. And so we can't go to dog parks and things like that. So I'm trying to make doggy friends that can come to our house and we can go to their house. So this is so great. They're running around and they're having so much fun.
Well, it's Eugene's first birthday on August 14th.
So, Eugene? Is Eugene a Leo?
I guess. I'm not good at astrology.
I'm not really either. I just know my dad is August 2nd or 3rd. I never remember.
Does human astrology... mean anything to dog astrology?
Because it's so many more years. Do they have seven more signs within each sign? I don't know how that works.
Who knows how it works? But
Lauren Martin McGraw would know. Do you know Lauren?
No.
She's a very funny sketch comedian and actor, actress, comedian. And she knows a lot. She knows more about astrology than anybody who's an adult should. So we'll have to ask her.
Yeah, we should find out about dogs. I do want to do that, and I think you should definitely do it, because Bun is such a cute, weird-looking dog, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, I know. Well, a friend of mine saw a picture and was like, that is the ugliest fucking dog I've ever seen. I love him. But everyone always follows it up with, he's great, or I love him. But lots of time people are like, that's an ugly fucking dog. He's not. He's adorable. He's got the Brayton body. He's part bulldog, like English bulldog, so he's totally got my shape. Just a squat little... Like, he would be great at rugby or shot put.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a great prop.
Yeah. He's got to take a breather now. He's overheating. Like, there's the bulldog in him.
Yeah.
And then I think wire-haired, like the long-haired Jack Russell Terrier is the mix that he is. I mean, there's probably other million other things in there as well, but those two for sure are the predominant. So if you imagine a Jack Russell Terrier mixed with a bulldog, if you can. I've never seen
picture.
Another dog.
We're gonna
that
get
looks
a good
like,
picture
yeah,
of him.
Definitely.
Post it, but
people can follow his Instagram at This Is Bunbury.
Hey, now Eugene's digging in your garden.
Eugene, get out of there. My wife will be so mad at you.
Come here, you jerk. He's so cute when he does bad stuff.
Oh, it's hard to be mad at him when he's that cute.
People on my podcast are now used to me calling my dog and scolding him on the podcast.
Right.
Because he comes everywhere with me. That's the one thing with Eugene is like, this is as big as he's going to get. And so he fits on a plane and he travels with me everywhere.
I used to say that about myself, but it was not true.
I say that about my, this is as big as I'm going to get. I am not getting any
this
bigger
is the peak.
Than this.
This is yeah. the peak.
But that we're always lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, he might fill out and become a little chubbo, but he loves to run around too much. So
yeah, no kidding. No, he's pretty high energy.
He is a little high energy dude. That's sad that you can't go to dog parks.
I know. That's my fantasy one day. And we just started working with a trainer. And that's partly, you know, Eugene's been, or no, what's my dog? Yours is Eugene. Mine's Bunbury. Bunbury's been a lot better since we've been doing this training with him and sort of changing our approach because we were a little bit too...
Most bad behavior in dogs comes from humans. I watched a lot of Caesar Millan before, the week before I got Eugene. I watched so much Dog Whisperer because I'm like, I don't want to give him bad habits. I mean, I spoil him to death and I have given him bad habits in that way, but...
No, but when you, it is the whole, I'm in charge and that means you're safe and you don't have to be in charge.
Yeah.
Is the basic... You know, and it makes sense. He was anxious because he felt like he had to be in charge and protect us. And so now that we're being more the boss, he's happier and he's calmer and he doesn't spaz out so much. So he's doing so much better.
And did you get him from, was he a puppy when you got him or was he a
shelter?
How old is he?
They think he's about four now.
Okay.
So he was like, you know, two or three when we got him.
And was he in a bad home or?
Well, we don't super know the history. We know he's had at least a couple of different homes and the sort of, you know,
somebody had a baby
and gave him to somebody else and then they were moving, gave him to somebody else kind of a thing. He was in a shelter and he was in... This is so complicated. So this we might end up cutting this part.
I don't
out,
edit
but,
anything. Like, I'm too lazy.
I know. I was gonna say no.
This is going up in about an hour. So,
Okay. So he was at the shelter that has been in the news for being raided by the SPCA.
Oh no!
And it's a complicated thing because the woman who runs it, I believe her to have a very good heart and do a lot of good work. And I think she just was
super overwhelmed
and in denial about being as overwhelmed and whatnot. But in hindsight, you know, he's pretty scrawny when we got him and he definitely, he's a real anxious dude and we don't know how much of that was from before or now. So I want to be really careful when I talk about that because I don't want to, minimize what happened at the shelter, but I also don't want to demonize her because I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
So he was a shelter dog. We don't know too much about his history other than he's had a few different homes and he's very, it plays out. Like he doesn't like, if we're in different rooms, he will come and try to kind of get us in the same room and whine at us. He likes when we're all home. He's calm when we're all home. He doesn't like when we go out, you know, he doesn't bark and stuff like that, but he's definitely, he's a pretty high stress kind of dude.
I think that's a characteristic of a dog that's been in a couple homes. Eugene had been in a couple homes before he came to me and he is like that. He doesn't like to be separated long. If we're together, he'll be fast asleep on the couch. I'll get up to go to the washroom and he will get up, follow me, sit in front of me. And I'm like, you can stay and sleep.
It's really weird.
You don't have to follow me everywhere.
Right.
But I think it is like, oh, Eugene! Sorry, he's
that's okay.
really screwing
we
up
have
your
to
garden.
Get a, that's okay. We have to get a little fence for in there because Buns does the same thing.
Hey,
Eugene, come here! Get out of there, you monkey!
Why are you being a jerk?
He's like, I can smell that Bunbury's been doing the same thing. Hi!
He ate cat shit from Adam's parents' garden the other day.
Fun.
So that was nice. That was fun.
Bunbury's back for round two. Bunbury took a little break and now he's back.
He's cool. But you also like, I think that it like I posted this week that I'm really like grateful for Eugene and the kittens that I've fostered through Voker, which I really feel is your fault, but in a good way, not a bad way.
I will take the
blame. It's the best thing I've ever done, and like having all these animals around me has changed my mood, and I'm 100% like, if you can have a dog and you have really bad depression, or a cat, whichever you want, or both, But they really, he really has done amazing things for me. And when I posted that, a lot of, like, I got a huge response from
him. Yeah, I love that post. And I loved, excuse me, the focus on that. And that's, so I volunteer with VOCRA, who you're now fostering through Vancouver Orphan Kitten Rescue Association. And we foster, we have, was he in the window? No, he's probably having a little nap. But we have many cats of our own, but we also foster through VOCRA. And we've got one guy right now. And yeah, we've fostered over, I think he's number 102.
What?
Yeah, we've had over 100 cats and kittens go through our house in the last like 4 years.
That's awesome.
And I think fostering actually is a really great way for anyone with, you know, depression or mental health challenges that, especially if, you know, if you're not able to hold down a job, it's a great way to have some responsibility, but have a kind of, a backup plan because, you know, they legally belong to the foster organization. And so, you know, you get support and you have people that you can talk to if there's issue and issues. And if you can't pull it together and you're like, I'm not able to take care of this animal, then there's someone who goes, that's fine. We will take them and somebody else will.
Yeah.
Rather than taking on an animal and not being able to look after them, right? But I love that post because I think it's so true and I've seen it happen many, many times with fosters, people that look after VOCRA cats and that it's really just been a lifeline.
Yeah.
And it's also a really important part, I think, of...
That's our neighbor.
They're okay. I think it's a really important part of rescue work as well is supporting people, whether it's economic barriers or mental health barriers that need support around paying for and taking care of their animals, because sometimes those animals are 100% the thing that's keeping that person alive, right? So, you know, sometimes people, when I talk about animal rescue, they're like, there's so many more important things in the world, and what about humans? And first of all, I hate when people do that, because fuck you.
Oh, I know. Yeah, what about humans? Well, what about humans? Look what humans have done to themselves.
Well, there's
sometimes
that.
I don't really want to save some of these humans.
And there's also, you know, I think that how we treat how we treat the members of our society that don't, the least powerful members of our society, whether that be people or animals, that shows what kind of a society we are, I think. And so how we treat animals to me is like, that's real important. But also rescue organizations help the animals, yes, but they help the people. They help people keep their animals, care for their animals, spay and neuter their animals so they're not contributing to the problems. And so I feel like animal rescue is just as much about supporting humans as it is about helping animals.
And you put a post up just last night about how your foster cat bit you.
Oh, because I got these big puncture wounds in my arm today.
Like, he bit you. But I love what you said, that I don't blame him at all because he was an innocent cat that wasn't put in a bad situation and doesn't trust people now. And that's the problem. It's like, that's the thing is, like, if you, when you, and even part of that post that really rang through was like, oh, I want my children to see the miracles of birth. I'm like, no,
you wouldn't believe some of the excuses.
I can't believe it.
Some of the reasons that people surrender their pets and some of the reasons that people have unspayed or neutered pets would just make you crazy. And that is one that we've heard many times.
Yeah.
I want my child, want my children to see the miracle of birth. Or I want her to be able to have one more litter. I feel like she wants to have one more litter. It's like, no, she doesn't want to have one more litter.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And oftentimes these are like 1 year old cats, which are really kittens, having, you know, 2-3 litters.
Babies having babies.
Babies having babies.
They should have a teen cat.
Right?
My
I would watch
my,
that. I don't watch that
teen cat.
I don't watch that teen mom shit, but I would watch teen cat.
My mom is still scared of people. Like, I've had her for almost 2 months.
I thought you were talking about your actual mom. Your mom is scared of people?
Okay, sometimes.
The foster cat that
the
is
foster
a mom
cat
that
Marilyn Monroe, she is still scared of people. And they've asked me if she's ready to go up for adoption. I'm like, I wouldn't yet.
Right.
She needs to get a little bit. She still is not a fan of Eugene. I keep them separated at all times. But I know they were worried that I had a dog but I really think, especially with the kittens, love him.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good because then it makes them more adoptable too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's great because people all the time want cats that are good with dogs. And so you, oftentimes you're like, well, they're probably okay.
Yeah.
But
and I told everyone that I wasn't going to adopt one of them, but I did apply to adopt.
I saw you, Jen.
Judy Garland, because, and it wasn't me. Eugene picked her.
Yep.
Like, I let the kittens hang out with Eugene all the time, and she runs to him. She starts purring when she's next to him. I'm like, I can't give her away.
That's how we ended up, our cat Izzy, she was feral, a feral kitten, and her siblings all tamed up, and she just never really quite did. She is now, and she's quite cuddly now, but for the long that you couldn't touch her or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, pick her up, forget it. But she loved our cat, Billy, and they were just always together. And I was like, oh, we can't adopt out Billy's cat.
Yeah,
so
they just choose each other.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even me that said we should apply to adopt her. It was Adam.
They're going to say it was Eugene. Even taking, he's like, Mom, listen.
Yeah, I'm not even taking the responsibility for all that.
No. Not your fault.
Yeah. So we're both animal lovers. We're both comedians.
I have to tell you, you just reminded me that, I don't know if it was my first or my second... I love the idea that you can hear that. I wonder. Can you hear
I
that
hope
on the
that
podcast?
They can hear him breathing and fighting.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Girl Parts, my very first sketch group, or 30 Helens, but we got a call, a message, because that's how you did things back in the 90s. You phone people, from somebody. He was a booker, and he said he was booking this show, and he had all these great comedians on it. And he heard about us, this all-female troupe, and he wanted to book us because it was great that he had all these guys, but he really wanted the softer side of comedy.
Ugh.
We were like,
fuck you.
You've never seen us, have you?
Oh. I hate when people are like, yeah, I want a soft side. If you're either with female comedy, whatever you want to call it, you're either soft and feminine or you're raunchy and rude, and there's no in-between. And you're not allowed to be anywhere in between.
Right.
Like, I've been trying really hard to write some just regular jokes.
Right.
Just trying to get, and people aren't as receptive because they're used to me talking about cum.
Yeah. Can you talk softly about cum?
I can talk very softly about cum. But the thing is, like, it is, I think it has changed a lot. I think that shows like your show, The Lady Show, the reason why I like The Lady Show is because it's not, I'm not a huge fan of all female stand-up comedy shows. Just like I'm not a fan of all male stand-up comedy shows. I think that you need to have with stand-up, the more diversity and differences you have in the sets. Like if it's three white guys, it gets really boring by the headliner.
Yeah.
If it's three dirty girls, it gets really boring by the headliner.
Right.
And the thing that I like about The Lady Show is that you do sketch, you do music, you do improv, you do stand-up.
Burlesque, storytelling, whatever, like, whatever's going on. Yeah.
So it's not just showcasing women in comedy, it's just showcasing talented women, which is fun.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, when we started Girl Parts, which was like 95, I think, and then after a couple of years that became a smaller group, became 30 Helens, you know, there wasn't anybody else or very few other women doing what we were doing. And
did you
really
feel like a novelty though to some people?
To some people, but more it was less that and more that we filled a void and people rushed in to, you know, we always sold out our shows and we had a huge following and a really loyal following, and because people wanted to see that, right? So there was something missing.
Yeah.
And then we were doing what was true to ourselves, what we wanted to do, but so many audience members were like, yeah, that's what I want to see, that's what's missing.
Yeah.
And so now with The Lady Show, it's an interesting thing to be doing an all-female show in 2017, because I don't feel the same need in terms of there's something missing, there's a void that we need to fill, because you can go and see all-female comedy nights or all-female sketch or all-female improv. Not, you know, I mean, maybe in stand-up more, but in other forms, like, a lot. So it's not so much that we're filling a void, it's more, this is kind of what I want to do. you know, this is where my heart is. This, you know, we say, Katie came up with this great line of we put the joy in feminist killjoy.
Yeah.
And I think that really sums up kind of how I see The Lady Show anyhow, right? It's we got something to say, we kind of mad about some stuff, but mostly it's just this joyful, silly, ridiculous,
fun
whatever
show
we've got going on.
Yeah.
And so, it's less about filling a void and more about just where my heart is and where I want to be. And if there were dudes that I felt a real kinship with in terms of comedy, then I'd be wanting to work with them.
Yeah.
But that's not...
You just haven't found it.
No, and it's just not my jam, at least right now, right?
Yeah.
So so this is, and so it is an interesting kind of thing of like, well, why do you have an all-female show? And partly it is because, yeah, we're still underrepresented, but it's not as much about trying to make a point or fill a void as much as it is just about We got some stuff that we want to say. We got some goofball things that we want to, you know, bring some joy around. So
yeah, like I started doing the Vancouver Female Comics, or the Van Female Comics Instagram with Sophie Buttle a few years ago, and then another comic in town, Randy Neumeyer, was like, "Why aren't you doing that anymore?" So I was like, "Yeah, why aren't I?" So
I
started
loved
it.
You reinstated that,
and then I started doing the Funny Women of Canada, and I'm shocked that nobody has said something like, "What about the funny men?" Like, I'm still waiting for it. I'm still waiting for a guy to get. But I've gotten such a great response from the men in comedy, and like, I think that as long as men start saying, "No, women are funny," that's when it's going to change.
Yeah.
As soon as the guys say, "I know so many funny women,"
well, then that's about the power structure, right?
Yeah.
It's in the same way that like. Yeah, no, people of color are not going to fix racism.
No.
Because it's us white folks are the idiots that are perpetuating it, right? So it is. Unfortunately, like, yes, women will continue to push the boundaries and step up and do our thing and prove that we are hilarious. But until men acknowledge and men come out to see women in comedy in the same numbers that they go out to see men, and not just men, women as well. Because I know you've had, and Erica talks about it all the time. I don't think you get it as much in sketch what I do, but with stand up, I always hear female comics that women come up to them and say like, "I don't usually find women funny, but you're really funny."
Yeah,
which makes me crazy.
Yeah, Jackie Cation, who's a very funny comic that's based out of LA, and she's actually coming here, I think, on the 19th in Vancouver.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I want to go. I want to go.
I'm not in town, or else I would definitely go. I've seen her quite a lot, and I met her last summer at the Odd Block Comedy Festival, and her podcast, The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Yeah,
Christina Walkinshaw turned me on to it, and it's great. It's two female comics
talking about female comics.
It's really great, and it's their perspective, and they are not afraid to name names, and I love that. I fucking hate podcasts where, like, "Oh, you know this comic?" And I'm like, no, I don't know that comic. You know, if you're going to talk about that comic, name their name.
Right.
That's my rule. Like, that's my rule.
Well, and it's so hard because, of course, and this is exactly why things don't change, because you're at once trying to make change or call people out or start a discussion.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you want to work.
And oh, yeah, you don't want
that barrier to... Well, and it's just like, there are enough barriers, and being a comedian is hard enough to you know, get it up to do that all the time anyhow. So do you want to really create one more barrier? And I think you pick and choose the places where you do and where you don't, right?
Oh, definitely. But, like, I mean, I don't know. I just, like... So, anyway, the Jackie and Laurie shows, they're great. Yeah. They're very ballsy. They're awesome. And Jackie, when I met her in Winnipeg last summer, she has this card. Whenever someone comes up to her and says, "I normally don't like women, but you were very funny," she goes... she hands him a card and says, "I told Jackie Cation," I have a picture of it somewhere, she goes, "I told Jackie Cation that I'd never seen a funny comedian. Here's a list of funny comedians." She has about 10
my God, that's
women.
Brilliant.
And it is true. Like, we are our own worst enemies sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that people, like when Eliza Schlesinger threw everybody under the bus, I don't forgive her for it, because I still am pissed that she did that and said what she said. But it's also a product of the men in the industry, because there's been, and females, there's so many men or female, male or female bookers that have said that to me.
Yeah.
"You can't talk about your vagina so much. All women do is talk about their vagina."
Right.
And that's not true.
No.
I mean, women do, but it's also, we're finally in a time where we can.
But it's that thing you were talking about earlier of, you have to... I'm trying to remember the context in which you said it. Maybe I dreamt it, but I feel like we just said it a few minutes ago. we're sitting in the summer drinking wine. I've already forgotten what happened 10 minutes ago. But it is that thing where if there's fewer of you, you have to be all things to all people, right?
Yeah.
You can't. If a female comic is not strong, then women aren't funny.
Yes.
How many shitty male comics have you seen? And you just
I was
go,
at 12
oh,
Kings last night. I saw a lot.
Well, there you go.
I was at that show, and I'm like, I believe in
name
going
names.
Out and
name
doing
names.
Stuff. I can't remember
I
their names.
No, but even the fact that you're like, I was at 12 Kings. People could do the math on
they'll
it if
know.
They really
They'll
want
know
to.
What I'm talking about. But I mean, like, yes, they need to be told that they didn't have a great set. I didn't have a great set. No one had a great set there.
Totally.
It was just a comics room anyway. But it's like, yeah... comedy has become very inclusive, which is good and bad, in the fact that, yes, you should feel included, but no, you shouldn't be praised for having a shitty set.
Oh, it's such a double-edged sword, isn't it? I always say that about queer stuff, because I remember years ago going to a lesbian theater show, and I won't name names only because I don't remember. It was very long ago, and I drink a lot of wine. But... I remember being in the audience and at the end, and people laughing and laughing at things that just were not that funny. Yeah. And then at the end, like this standing ovation, and I thought, it wasn't that good, you guys. What are you doing? But I also understand the desire to see yourself reflected in theater, in media, in comedy, in whatever that is, where you're not, yeah. and how hungry we are for that as queer people in this case. And so we sort of go, you know, yes, that's me. Yes, oh, you're like me, and yes, that was so great, and keep doing it.
Because you got on
a
stage
so much,
yeah.
Exactly. But at what point is that not enough, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's such a double-edged sword because on the one hand, you know, yeah, we want people to... I mean, how many dudes who suck in... And it's not just in comedy. Like, there's... How many shitty bands have we gone yeah. and seen with guys who can barely play their instruments?
Yeah.
That you go, yeah, this guy's got a future, man.
Oh, I've women do that. I used to want to date guys in bands, and then I'd go, and I'm like, oh, God.
Right.
It's the same as when you get a crush on a male comic or a female comic. I don't know what it's like to have a crush on a female comic, but if I get a crush on a male comic, and then I see him do comedy, and he's terrible,
right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That crush is dead. But if yeah. they make me laugh, even guys that I don't, I'm not like, oh, you're attractive. And then he makes me laugh. I'm like, okay, I love you.
Yes, exactly.
I love you.
More attractive yeah. than that.
Than someone yeah. that's good at their job.
Totally.
But yeah, I get it. Like, and we just like, we're happy for people. We have friends that are trying to follow their dreams and stuff. But I think that it does a disservice to that friend to tell them that they're amazing when they're not. Because
so
you
this
won't
is
ever
the thing
improve.
With the, what's her name? Schlesinger?
Eliza Schlesinger.
Like,
or Eliza now because she's Madonna or something.
Oh, okay.
She's only going by Eliza now.
Well, and this is the only aspect of that. And I didn't follow it super closely because I started going down that rabbit hole and thought, I'll be here for 3 days reading all of this and responding to people.
Yeah.
But and I agree with the criticisms and the that she threw people under the bus and the way she went about it and all those kinds of things. And also there was an aspect of that in what she said, I felt like, of... Mm-hmm. You know what? If it's not good enough, it's not good enough.
We should raise our level a bit. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
and
she
so
could have said that
yes.
instead of saying, I'm the only woman that doesn't do that.
When yes, exactly.
There's photographic proof that you are not the only woman that raises yourself above the bar.
Totally.
You twerk on stage, so stop.
She does?
Yeah, there's a picture of her twerking.
Well, you know
on
what?
Stage.
Twerking is really hard. I don't know if you've tried it.
Oh, I have tried it. I'm not good at it.
No, see? So,
and then,
I
but,
mean,
it's, but the funniest part about
it. I've got to give some credits too.
That's true. If you can twerk, do it.
Yeah.
But
it
don't say that
comic.
You don't need to do it. That's what I'm saying. Is like
I agree.
Do whatever
I agree.
You talk about, whatever you want to talk about, but don't say that you're better.
Yeah.
Like I could say, oh, I'm better than those female comics that talk about only relationships because I actually go dirty. No,
right.
I'm not better than I'm yeah. myself. I'm good at what I do, and that. But that whole thing has inspired me to be more open-minded about women because I think that I don't want. I've had feuds with other female comics in the past that aren't even really feuds. They just silent. We stop talking to each
right,
other.
Right. Right.
And I'm like. Sometimes I know why and sometimes I don't. And then, but at this point I'm just like, no, I don't want this animosity between the women in our industry anymore. I don't want
yeah.
people to say, oh, everyone's just, you girls are just jealous of Eliza's success.
Right.
No, I want women to succeed. If women succeed, there's more room for more women to succeed.
100%.
And
There's room enough for
yes,
more of us.
And so that's
sure.
what really bothers me is like, I just don't want it to be a jealousy thing. And I don't want women to be constantly battling.
Yeah. And I loved when you came on the lady show, not that we were battling, that was a weird segue, but what it made me think of was you were very different than anyone we had
yeah,
on the
yeah,
show,
yeah.
and you killed,
yeah.
and I think partly it is an audience that we've cultivated where they go, what's going to happen next, right?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's doing burlesque now? Oh, now somebody is doing storytelling? What? Now
yeah.
somebody's doing a weird character in a wig? Like, they kind of are open to whatever's going to come next, but also... you know, there is room for that. And there's so many different kinds of comedy and genres and styles and voices. And so when
yeah.
you came out and just did this set like nobody had done on the lady show before,
yeah.
it was so great to just be like, yeah, and that's part of us too.
Well, I think I do get put into a box often that I'm just a dirty comic and then I just talk about dirty things. But honestly, like I feel like if you haven't seen me do it live, then you don't get it because I get away
oh,
with stuff. And I've had people come up that are just like old grandmas that
yeah.
are just like, usually I don't like that kind of stuff, but you made it seem normal.
Right.
And I mean, that's the thing.
That's
is
a
like,
good compliment.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I've been fighting my whole career that like only, I can only do dirty shows, but I'm like, no, I can be on shows. I can be on diverse shows. Don't put me on your corporate where
right.
being clean is. But if you put me on the right show, then
yeah.
it's really important.
And you're a good enough comic that you also know your audience, right? You're not going to come out blazing with something that...
I've been doing this long enough that I can read a room. Mm-hmm. And I can change things up. Like, I... Before, like, 5 years ago, no. I'd be just squirt pee jokes and, like... That'd be it. We can't change it up. But it is important to be, because even when I moved to Vancouver, I had a lot of people say, ooh, why are you moving to Vancouver? That town is too smart. People would say they're too smart for your comedy.
What?
Your comedy is too dirty for Vancouver. Mm. And when somebody said that to me, I'm like, well, I think it's just that Vancouver doesn't have any really dirty comics right now. And I think they just haven't seen it done properly. Not that it's never happened. Like, Pete Johansson used to live here, and he's pretty edgy and all this other stuff. But, I've done well in Vancouver. Why can't I think of the name of it? It's the dirty,
Shocker.
Comedy Shocker.
Yeah.
And yes, I had an amazing set because that was my audience.
Right.
But you can put me in front of other audiences and still.
Totally.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Bunbury?
He's hot.
He's panting. He wants to go in the house. You just hang out here for a bit. You're okay. Drink some water. Take
go
a breath.
Under the deck.
I think it's also a feature, though, of you having a bunch of experience under your belt, right?
Yeah.
Because I've recently seen a couple of newer comics that, like, I'm not a particularly, like, scatological humor is just not my jam. Like,
yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It's like poop jokes and stuff.
Oh,
right? Like, when people start talking about shit, I'm like, you have to be really good at your
super
craft
young?
For me.
Eddie Murphy talked about poop all the time when he was 19, but that's all he knew.
Right. Well, and I don't know if it's that. And I think it can be done, but it...
It's not your favorite.
It's not my favorite to begin with. So I already kind of, I tune out a little bit. But there's an aspect of it that I go, I just don't think you're good enough yet to pull that off. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't do it and shouldn't keep trying, because that's how you get better. But I watch it and I go, I feel like in a few years you're going to be telling, you know, the kernel of that joke, mm-hmm. but better crafted, and it's going to work because you're going to have that experience under your belt. Whereas right now, and it is a thing of, like, it's not my jam, but it really is some people's jam.
Yeah.
And but it stuff like that takes kind of a combination of skill and experience and your own voice, right? So they've kind of got their own voice in that, like, this is what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But they don't have the skill and experience yet.
And that
to
makes
pull
me
it
understand
off.
The beginning of my career so much more now, because when I started, I've always been too much,
right?
Kathleen McGee, too much. But
Kathleen, too much McGee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was told early on, if I was going to tell jokes I was telling, I have to grow some balls. And I kind of took that as like, I just had to be brave. But I'm like, no, I have to be able to, like, you know, stand
takes,
on and,
takes
and be
some
behind
time to
those
grow
jokes
balls.
And grow. And that's the problem today, is that there's so many of these new comics that are in it for 2-3 years and they want to be middling and they want to be doing all this stuff. And I'm like, go on the road. Put in your time.
That's why I don't do
work
stand-up.
Your day job and then do your comedy at night. It's hard.
It's so hard.
It is so
I admire
hard.
So much. So I don't do stand-up. You know, I do a lot of hosting, and I, you know, I will tell jokes and I write jokes for the Lady Show and the Lady News. And I'm getting better at that from working with Katie Ellen Humphries, who's, you know, a joke machine.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much from her because I'm, you know, I come in with these jokes that are like a paragraph long, and she goes like snip,
edit
snip,
it
snip.
Down.
And
yeah.
It's a sentence and a half and it kills. Right.
That's
so
something
I'm like,
that
good
stand-ups do is they edit.
Exactly.
That's such
and that's
an important
not, and
skill.
I'm, you know, I write prose and I write character monologues and stuff. So it's not, it's, I'm getting better at that through working with her, which is fantastic. But where was I going with that? I'm not a stand-up. I don't pretend to be a stand-up. Even when I host things, they're like, oh, we're going to get this stand-up to come on up. Like, I'm not a stand-up. And I will admit that I do not have the determination or the drive to do that. I don't want to get up 4 nights a week. I want to be right here
it
in my
is
yard
a thing,
with my dog and my cats. And you have to get up 4 nights a week, a couple shows a night, and really work way harder at it than I am willing to.
And you have to do the shitty rooms like 12 Kings, and you have to eat shit at 12 Kings.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, I ate shit at 12 Kings last night. I had a couple laughs, but it was not fun.
Right.
I did not have a good time on stage. But also there was, like, other comics there, and there was, like, the editing part is so important. Like, watching a new comic, you're just like, oh God, that was a 5-minute story with a punchline at the end. And it took you 5 minutes to get to that one punchline. But they're new, right?
Yeah.
And you have to remember that. And
that's how you get better, right?
You get better.
I mean, you can't go around it. You can't go under it. You've got to go through it.
But if you ask a headliner to tell you what they're doing wrong and stuff, do not be pissed. We're going to pause this while you let your dog in.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, then we're back. No, it is, and I always feel like, I'm like, I don't want to, like, there was one guy last night that I know he's really funny. I'll even name his name is Sean McConnell, and he did a story, and it was just a really long story with the punchline at the end. Right. And he's really, really funny. He's new. I think he just turned 19. And I do want to go up to him and be like, but I also don't. Like, I don't want to be that bitch and have him think that I'm mean. And I don't think he did a bad job. I just was like, oh, this is going to be a good joke once you figure out that it's a one-minute joke, not a five-minute joke.
And that's just also it takes partly comes with time.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and I bet you, if he came up to you and asked you, you know, you got any feedback for me? You would tell him. Yeah. You would give him great insight.
Yeah.
But yeah, unsolicited advice. I never want to be. Performers generally doesn't go over very well.
No, it doesn't.
For any performers.
For any. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so.
I don't like it.
Nobody
if
does.
If you ask me first, if you're like, do you want some feedback? I usually will say.
Somebody messaged me after that post about my depression and stuff. They messaged me like, are you really depressed? I'm like, no, I just play that I'm depressed so I can have material on it. Like, who would pretend that they're depressed? It's the worst ever. Why would you pretend?
What a strange thing.
I have a lot of strange people that message
you do. Well, you have a lot of strange, you know, God bless them.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of, you have a lot of followers that have a lot of things to say.
My friend Craig in Edmonton, he's amazing. And he posted on one of my feeds, one of my comment or statuses once. He goes, your Facebook page is like 70% guys that ruin everything. And that's what it is. And like, and I don't want to be mean to people that want to interact with me. I do want to interact with people, but I also need people to like get a clue.
Oh, and it's such
and
a
And you
balance.
Don't know me. You can't make a derogatory comment right. on my, if we've never met and had a conversation face to face, you can't call me a slut on Facebook.
I think that's probably just a good
But they
rule
see
of life.
Other
sure.
people that I know and I'm joking with them, but it's also like, understand my relationships with people.
But what I love about that is that people are following you thinking that they know, oh, she's like, she does
she's
dirty comedy and
yeah.
she's,
oh,
she'll,
yeah.
and yeah, like we, I can talk like that to her. And then they learn through interacting with you or interacting with the people on your wall that were
person.
Like, what's your problem? Stop that. Don't talk to her like that.
Yeah.
And then people actually, cause that's where change happens, right? Change happens in the conversations. Change happens in the challenging and on that kind of a thing. But we don't get a chance to, if we just go, well, you're not my type of fan and I don't want you on my page or whatever. But the flip side of that is it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
And I always say this, you know, in 2017 with the internet, when all of the information in the entire world is accessible to you, there is no excuse for you to be bombastically spreading your lack of understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you know, when people like, whether it's Black Lives Matter or trans issues, when people spout this stuff that I go, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, you're uneducated, there is no excuse for that.
No.
Right there, I can see previously, or you know, if like my dad who doesn't quite know how to work the internet, if he's like, I got questions, you know.
I love when an old person types in a search and posts it on Facebook. That's my favorite.
My dad is the best. He calls me. I'll send him an email and then he'll call me back, which makes me crazy.
Yeah.
But he called me one time and said, well, Jillian sent me an email, do you have her email address so I can respond to her? I'm like, no, Dad, you just have to hit reply. He's like, I what? I'm like, she sent you an email. You hit reply and email her back.
Yeah.
Well, I deleted the email. Well,
oh,
why
no.
did you do? Well, I don't want to fill up my. I'm like, Dad, for the rest of your life, and then some. You would never fill up your inbox. It's fine. You don't have to delete anything. But he's so
keep it clean.
Anyways, but it's I find it such a tricky thing because it's not your responsibility to educate them, but at the same time, that is the place where the change happens. And there is no excuse for people to just rant about, you know, when other people are like, dude, maybe look into
Think
this.
About it.
And then they're like, oh, then I just go, well, then I can't talk to you because you're not actually open to hearing.
A conversation.
You're not actually open to learning anything because you could Google transgender and learn so much in an hour that you wouldn't sound like a fucking idiot. When
people
you
hate
post
to be told
internet.
That they're wrong online, though. They hate it. They hate it. Even if they're
Get
not
what
wrong, they don't
want to do online.
It is the worst place and the best place to go sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And like with my thing, it's like I have a lot of people that message me, men and women, that message me, and like I've become friends with a lot of fans where I have a continuous conversation with them. But then I get a guy who will send me something crude and something and then if I don't respond the way he wants me to respond, I'm a bitch and they were a fan, but not anymore. Right. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really even want you as a fan then if you're going to turn on me like that.
So do you know Sarah Bino? She's been posting. Yeah, she's a she runs Teen Angst Night.
Okay,
and
What. I know of her.
And she does, she's an actor and does, she's been doing some commercials lately and she gets, as is the way if you're on commercials or on TV, that random people, like I get weird requests from people for autograph pictures and stuff in like France. And I'm like, you just are going through IMDb and trying to get pictures of people that might be famous one day that might make you some money. I'm pretty sure that's all that is because you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Anyways, she's got a number of messages from dudes that, and it's always, you know, it's one thing if you're like, hey, I think you're really talented. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
And like, great. Done. End of list, right? And you may or may not respond. And that's a whole other ball of wax. But then when people send her messages and are like, you know, you have a great rack and I really liked you in that commercial. It's like, well, okay, fuck off. And then if she doesn't respond, they're calling her
a bitch
and stuff. And it's like,
suck up,
what?
Whore, lesbian. Yeah.
It's so weird. It's
and
like,
why is lesbian an
head?
Insult?
Right?
But
well, because they're obviously, because you don't want to fuck me, so you must
be. You must be lesbian. That's my favorite, is when they call you a dyke. That's my favorite insult, because I'm like, oh, because I would never fuck you, so that automatically means that I don't want to fuck any man.
Right, yeah.
Like, The Rock posted a picture of a tattoo of him, and he said, this is amazing, this is a major fan. And I was a little high, so I tweeted, I'm like, hey, I have a tattoo of Shelley Long, do you want to see it, The Rock? And then this guy chimed in, he goes, I want to see it. And I was still high, so I tweeted back, I'm like, are you The Rock? And then he tweeted back, no, but I was a fan. So I tweeted back, that was a joke, like, fucking cool it.
Yeah,
like, there's a reason why women don't talk to you,
right?
Because you have this like weird, I don't know.
This is
very frustrating.
Yes, but that whole thing also can be tricky. I don't respond to, quote, I'm making little air quotes with my hand, fan emails for the most part anymore, unless it's
I always try to, because I feel like it's okay. I'm lucky to have fans. I am lucky to have fans.
It can
but
be,
I'm not obligated to. Yeah,
I had a stalker from somebody who, a woman actually, who, and this was like, I was like 30, so it was 17 years ago now.
Hey, what are you doing, Eugene?
Barking at a dragonfly because he's an idiot.
Oh, dragonfly! You're so tough, Eugene. But yeah, she started sending me emails and then poetry and then, and it just got super weird. And then uncomfortable and scary. And then she said she was an 18-year-old girl. She was a 35-year-old woman. Like, it was weird. Yeah. It was bad. And so I'm quite gun shy about it now. And so,
well, the internet has made it easy for mentally unstable people to get in contact with people. And it is, I understand. Like, there are some people I've just had to stop talking. I don't block people often.
Right.
But I've had to block some people because they just don't get it.
Yeah. No, and you know that those people aren't going to get it. There's no conversation to be had there.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, somebody was talking about what he thinks my vagina looks like on my Facebook wall. And I'm like,
was he right?
No, not
at all. Oh, weird.
He was incorrect. He was not a pussy reader. But I literally sent him a message. I'm like, you know, my mom is on my Facebook. And then he said, does your mom watch your comedy? And I was like, yeah, she does. And my mom is very proud of me. But she doesn't need to see a 48-year-old man describe my vagina on social media.
And it's also just weird. Ugh. Like, who does that? Like,
weird,
were you raised by wolves? Who,
there are
who
people
are
out
these
there
people
that
don't have any manners at all?
It is very frustrating because, again, like, I feel guilty about blocking people. Why should I feel guilty? I talked to Amanda Brooke Perrin the other day because she messaged me because there's this guy that constantly comments. And I haven't blocked him yet. Mm. And she goes, I blocked that guy months ago. You should block him. Right. He's awful. And I'm like, but I feel bad because I feel like, is he sad? Is he lonely?
Right.
And I don't. But also, that's not my problem.
And really, what, you know, what could you do?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just encouraging all for that behavior by
reaching out
not,
and saying, you know, like, if you need something, reach out and all this kind of stuff. That's not what's happening here, right?
No.
So you're projecting and taking on way, which is such a lady thing to do, right? You're like going to take care of the world on your Facebook.
Maybe I am maternal to my perverted male fans.
There you go.
See?
Their
mom, whatever.
Let's, don't do it.
No. Let's change out. So I've known about you for years and years and years before I lived out here. You ran the Vancouver Comedy Festival. You're a notorious lady.
Oh, dear.
I remember Comedy Couch.
Good.
Were you on Comedy Couch, right? Remember
I was
that
on Comedy
crazy
Couch.
I love how like all these like new comics are like, these comedy forums, there's never been anything like this before since before Facebook groups. I'm like, yeah, there was Comedy Couch and there was TorontoComedy.com and they were so entertaining.
Comedy Couch. I forgot about that. Regan that started that, right?
Okay, Regan? Yeah. Yeah, Regan.
I can't remember her last name. Anyways.
But yeah, it was
kudos.
I knew about you because of like just reading about the Vancouver scene on there. Mm. But we never met, and I had lived here for, well, this is my third summer here. So I had lived here, and I just met you officially last summer because you messaged me, and you have a, you had a Fringe show.
Yep.
And what was it called? I'm sorry, what was it called again?
It's called Give It Up.
Give It Up. And you messaged me, and you're like, we haven't met yet. And I'm a shy person. Like, I'm not, people, I hope people don't think I'm a bitch that I don't come up to them and hug them and want to be their friends, but I just don't. I don't introduce myself well. So then
and
you,
also you're busy. That's the thing. I knew who you were for a long time, but I never got a chance to meet you because we couldn't get you on the lady show because you were always booked and that kind of a thing. And so that's part of it too. But I also, I get the, like,
it's a shy, like,
thing.
You know, like everyone's, do you know them? I'm like, no, I don't, I've never met them. So anyway, you messaged me and you said, I want you to come see my Fringe show. And you weren't like, you need to come like Richard Lett was when he was like, where are these ungrateful people not coming to my show. Anyway,
yeah,
it's a different conversation.
But you had posted, a couple things in a row that really rang true for me, that resonated with me about like
comedy,
why the fuck am I still doing this? And that's exactly what my
show is about.
So I was like, oh, would that be weird? Is she going to think I'm just like trying to get, you know, people to come
people
to my
show
and feel like I'm using her thing somehow? But I was like, no, I feel like, and there's a couple people like that I'm like, I just want you to see it because I feel like you'll relate and it might kind of help
how you're
lift
feeling
stuff a little around that in the way that doing the show has for me. So,
and so I came to see the show, and that's like, I think it was like my third or fourth date with Adam. I had just started dating him, so you just met him. But and it was amazing to watch because I was like, yes, I feel the exact same way that you get into your 30s and you're not in LA, you're not in New York. So you're like, well, now what?
Yeah.
And it does get very stressful. And I've never tried to be an actress. Like, I've done auditions, I've done extra work. I would like to get more into it. I just don't know how to.
Yeah.
But I think like it is, it's this thing where you hit a time, and I'm not even 15 years into my career.
Right.
Where it's just like, and I still feel like this all the time. I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah. Like, what is this? I'm not making any money. I can't get a real job because if I get a real job, then I'm going to be flaky for those people.
Right.
And it's honestly not for me. I don't want to be an asshole to somebody that hires me. Every time I get a job, I tell them I'm a comedian and it comes first. And if they don't like that, don't hire me.
It's which true. Always goes over really well in an interview.
I have gotten the best jobs that way.
Yeah.
Being honest.
Totally.
My friends that don't tell people they do comedy and then they ask for a week off, they find it impossible. I will ask for a week off and like, oh, yeah, you got to go. You got to go do follow your dream.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
I will only work somewhere that will allow me to do that. But anyway, but your show was really like, because you have been acting for how many years?
It's going on 3 decades now.
Yeah.
I was 18 when I moved to Vancouver to pursue my dreams.
Yeah.
And I'm 47 now, so almost 30 years. And that's what the show is about. It's about my constant struggle as an actor to figure out why I'm still doing this, if this is enough, if this is all there is. And it's mostly about film and TV acting. But then I talk about starting to do comedy and finding my place on stage as a sketch comedian and that place of like, oh yeah, this is where I belong. So should I just do that? But then, you know, finding ways to bring the one into the other, et cetera, without giving away too much about the show. It's stories from my career, horror stories and comedy.
Very ups.
Stories.
You've had some great ups.
Yeah. I've had some great roles and I've had some, you know, the sort of through line in the show is that as an actor, you're always waiting for your ticket, right? That one part that's going to change everything. And I've had that ticket a handful of times, right? Where I was like, oh, this is it. Here you go, right?
I think that's one of the hard things to swallow once you get into this business. I remember watching Just for Laughs on TV and thinking, God, those comics are rich and famous.
Right.
And, oh, those actors are rich and famous. And getting to know actors that aren't superstar actors, but working actors even.
Yeah.
And getting to know comics that are on the level of doing a gala at Just for Laughs and finding out that they're broke.
Right.
It's a lot to swallow.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, if I work hard enough, I'll be able to make a living.
Right.
But you can work your fucking ass off and you'll never make a living.
Yeah.
And it's very scary.
Totally. I just was a new friend of mine who I met on the set of, just did a small part on the remake of Overboard. And
what?
Yeah.
They remade that movie.
They're remaking it right now in Vancouver as we speak. The role reversal, Anna Faris plays the Kurt Russell character.
No.
Yeah. And I'm blanking on his last name. Eugenio. He's like the biggest Latin American, he's like this huge Mexican comedy star.
Okay.
But he's just, you know, not
breaking
too long ago
into
broken
North
through.
America.
Yeah, he's done a couple of North American films and
North
stuff.
America.
Right.
Bad at geography.
But we know what Hollywood films. Anyway, so it's a role reversal that he's the rich, snooty guy and she's the Kurt Russell character, and he's the Goldie Hawn character. Anyways, point being, I play a nurse.
Cool.
So it was friendly nurse when I auditioned and just nurse when I did the part. I'm not sure what happened when they rewrote that for
me. She's not that friendly.
I wasn't that friendly, apparently. Anyways, I just met this. She's actually a coach on the show, and we just connected. And I was like, are you an actor? Do you write? And we ended up connecting, and I found out she does comedy. And she is in an all-female improv troupe in LA called the Pippa Middletons, which cracks my
shit
up.
That's
hilarious. So funny to me. Anyhow, she was here, and I was like, we have the show, the lady show, while you're here, do you want to come be on the show? And she came, and she killed. She was really funny. Did this really funny weird monologue. And I was like, there's like a sixth sense of finding those people that I'm like, you're funny and there's something wrong with you.
Diana, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Diana Bane,
there's something definitely wrong with her, like in the best possible way.
She's incredible.
Yeah. And so Jasmine's a little bit that. Jasmine Ellis is her name. Anyways, we were talking about, because she studied at Groundlings, and she was telling me last night, we went to the Sunday service, and she was saying the main stage Groundlings performers don't get paid. Yeah. Like, it's just, casting directors come and not as much as they used to, but SNL casts out of Groundlings and stuff like that. So it's exposure.
It's awful.
And that's crazy.
People don't know that. But people don't
know. People don't know that. I'm in the business and I didn't know
I think that people, I think, and when I started, I was told never tell the audience what you make. Mm. Never tell the audience that you have a day job. But now I'm like, why not? The audience should know that I'm making the same money comics in the 90s made. And less shows.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm making less than a comic in the 90s would make. From
making less than during the boom.
From Yuck Yucks. Yeah. And everyone's like, you're going to get in trouble. I'm like, I'm going to get in trouble for telling people the truth.
Right.
I'm not saying anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not slandering them. I'm just telling people the truth. And that it's like, how can I have people that listen to me do this? This podcast gets like quite a few downloads. I have people all over the world listen to me. I can't pay my fucking phone bill.
Right. Like, no, and it is, partly that's people's view of art.
It is, right? You think if you're on a screen or anything, like Comedy Now's, I remember I was like, I gotta get a Comedy Now. I remember I didn't get a Comedy Now and I knew it was last season and I was devastated and I called my boyfriend at the time. I'm like, bring me cocaine. And he's like, you don't do cocaine. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to start, because I was devastated. And then, but Comedy Now's, I think the most you could get was $3,000.
Wow. Yeah.
I think the perspective is from an American perspective. Because, yes, you're Comedy Central, you can get $25,000 or more.
Right.
But for the same thing that you would get in Canada for about $3,000.
Well, and even probably to some listeners, $3,000 for a one-hour thing, you get $3,000, that sounds like a lot of money. But what?
But first, that has to
not
last over months.
A, it has to last. B, it is the it
one-time
represents
thing.
The culmination of however long. You know, that's the thing that I work with auditions. Like, I might go to 5 auditions in a week. And get nothing.
Yeah.
And I get a part and I make $3,000. But if I had 5 auditions a week for 2 months and didn't land anything until now.
Yeah.
If you do the math on that, I'm not making very much money.
Well, the problem is that people take advantage of artists and how much they want to do stuff. There was a discussion on Facebook the other day about a comic said, you want me to do your gig for $500 and I have to drive this far and no hotel, no gas, and there's going to be 3,000 people there paying $20 a ticket? No.
Right.
And it's like, people are like, you're being greedy asking for more than $500. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, that's once a month. Like, that's not every day.
But because we're so passionate about what we do, and you have to be to keep doing it, like you were saying, when you have those nights when you bomb and that you don't just go, oh, I'm going to go be a plumber instead. That, and especially after years and years, if you have the nights that you bomb or you don't get the gigs or you you're not on SNL or even on This Hour Has 22 Minutes, you have to really have a passion for it in order to keep doing it. Because you just wouldn't if you were a normal human being.
And
so that passion, people go, well, you're passionate passionate about it. So you just, you want to do this and you'll do it for nothing. I had a friend who wanted me and a bunch of friends to fly somewhere to do a show for the queer community there. And I was like, well, let's talk. Like, I know there's managers there, that there's bookers there that book stuff, and we can maybe talk to. And he's like, well, no, I was just thinking like a community kind of thing that you would, you know, you could stay here. And I was like, oh, you want all of us to fly there to just do a show for the community for no money? And I was like, no, that's your livelihood.
They think you're
it's not just
greedy.
About passion or community, right?
No, and I have been lucky to meet some people that do understand that. People that book me for their fundraisers, and they don't ask me to do it for free. They pay me well, and we get a lot of money for their cause.
Like, right. And sometimes, you know, if you're paid properly when people can pay you, it allows you to do those ones for free. And I do things for free all the time.
If it makes sense for you.
If it makes sense for me, if it's
a cause you believe in.
Yeah. I have three questions I ask when a gig comes up. I go, is it going to further my career? Is it going to bring me, you know, creative satisfaction or some kind of big joy?
Yeah.
Or is it going to pay me money, like decent money?
Yeah.
That's my criteria. If it's outside of, you know, and if it's all three of those, bonus, but usually it's one.
Yeah.
But if it's none of those, then I make myself say no, because sometimes it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
But that's my, and it took me years to come up with that very simple criteria. Because I would just say yes to everything and do things that I didn't want to do.
And then you're miserable and you hate your, and you don't have fun on your show and you're not as good as your performance should be. And
this way, at least you can remind yourself and go, I don't want to do this. It's not creatively satisfying. It's not going to further my career, but they're going to pay me a bunch of money and I want to do that. Or I want to do this because it is a friend and it will bring me joy to help this friend in their job or whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. But I just got a request to host a huge event. Like 1,000 people kind of a thing. 7:30 in the morning to like 2 in the afternoon, hosting the whole time. Like it's like a big outdoor event, doing interviews on stage, and they wanted me to run the sound as well.
No, for free?
Well, they didn't. They said, what would be your fee? Can you give us a quote? And I just gave them something completely. I was like, oh, I would love to do that. It sounds super fun. Here's my fee.
Yeah.
I never heard back from them because I was like, there's no way they're going to pay that. And that was one of those things where I was like, oh, if they have stupid money and they want to just throw that at me, oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it if they can pay this ridiculous amount that they shouldn't be able to pay, then sure I will. But otherwise, this is a nice way to get out of it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, it is. I do have places that I would do. I would love to do a show for Vokra and raise some money for Vokra because I can't donate to them myself.
Well, we know what we should talk about, because I started it on my birthday a few years ago, and I've done two of them. And then last year we had Bunbury and family stuff going on, so I didn't do it. And I haven't done it this year yet, but I was thinking, oh, maybe I should try to pull one together. But I created a show called The Cat's Ass Comedy Show.
Yeah,
it was
a
fundraiser for Vokra.
Let's do it.
But I've also kind of tapped out all my, like, hey, will you come and do a fundraiser for like a little bit of money for a cat? Everyone, all my friends were like, listen, we don't even like cats.
Yeah,
we're sick of you asking. So it might just be you for an hour.
That's fine. I would do it.
Done.
That's my donation for, like, I donate to the Edmonton SPCA because I always have.
Yep.
That's where I grew up. And I donate to the Cancer Society through my credit card.
Yep.
But I don't have the money to just
use it. But you foster, which is huge.
Yeah.
And
which is my way of doing it.
If you can contribute, and that's, you know, everybody does in their own way.
Yeah.
So volunteering is huge. Contributing and something like that is bigger than most people could possibly donate, right?
Yeah.
So
let's
do it.
And it's fun. Yes, let's do it.
We'll do it.
We'll do
it.
Set it
up.
Yes.
You'll rue the day.
Can we bring kittens on stage with us, please?
Oh, yeah, we probably could.
Like, I brought Eugene on stage at Little Mountain Gallery the other night, and it was so funny.
Oh, I saw the picture. So cute.
He had really good timing. I'm not just saying it's because I'm his mom. He's a
Bubba
star.
Was on my TV show when we very first got him, which is hilarious now in hindsight that I used to take him to the studio and everything like that. It was before he sort of, I think in hindsight, he was probably just terrified, so he didn't do anything wrong. But now that he's comfortable, he can't go anywhere. But yeah, he was on my TV show when we first got him.
Oh.
I look at the pictures. I'm like, he's so cute and tiny.
That's so amazing. Yeah. Oh, you're so awesome and so fun. You're doing your show in Edmonton this summer at the Fringe, aren't you?
Speaking of Edmonton, my show Give It Up is going to the Edmonton Fringe,
which is the largest fringe in North America. I don't know if that still is, but when I was growing up, it was.
I think isn't it like the second biggest in the world after
Edinburgh.
Right?
And then Edmonton.
I'm so excited because I've never been.
It's so fun.
And
the beer gardens are amazing.
I'm just in it for the beer. I'm thrilled to be going, and I'm thrilled to be staying with my dear friend Karen Scarrett, her family. So I'm really excited about it. I'm very anxious about leaving my pets alone for 10 days. Well, not alone. They'll be with my family. My wife will be here, but you know what I mean. I always get stressed. Like, even going away for a weekend is very stressful.
Leaving him for an afternoon.
You don't have to. That's a great
thing.
That's
the best. That's why I
can't carry 5 cats around. One of them is 19. Medication twice a day.
I've wanted to take the kittens with me, but I'm like, no, if Oka found out, I'd be in big trouble.
Yeah. Super would. Yeah. Hard to keep those pictures off the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's at the Sugar Swing Ballroom, which is, it's a bring your own venue. It's Sugar Swing. And maybe it's a relatively new space because they were doing some renovation-y things. It's not one of the main venues. It's a bring your own venue, but it's apparently like right, like a half a block away from the other stuff. So it's
Bowl?
In. No, oh. I'm telling you what
okay,
it's called.
Sweet.
Don't argue with
I'm
me.
I'm sorry, I grew up there. I've never heard of it, but I'm sure it's something new and awesome.
Yeah. I'll send you the thing. I don't know. You'll be like, oh, that place. And I have like 11 shows or something like that. So yeah, please
go
come
see
and see
Morgan's
it.
Show.
It's fun.
Giving it
it's
up.
It's not, and it's not, give it up. And
give
it's,
it up.
It's stories from my career.
Sketch.
But it's also got characters.
Yeah.
That are all kind of on that theme of like people whose lives
and they're
whose
so
careers
awesome.
And
they're
whatnot
so
didn't
funny.
Quite turn out how they thought.
It's
so.
A really funny show, but it's very touching and it's very relatable. If you're a comic or an artist in Edmonton, go see. This is the show you need to go see.
Thank
and
you.
I hope that you guys are listening and I hope you go see because fringe shows are terrifying. I still have not had the balls. I do want to do one eventually, but I
thought you meant to go to a fringe show.
No,
but that can
putting
be the case
on.
Too. Unjuried festivals can be terrifying. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yes, putting one on.
It's
oh, but you know what?
Scary.
There's nowhere better than the fringe to do that.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know who might be listening, what the Fringe is, it's an unjuried festival. It's you are chosen via lottery.
Yeah.
So it's not chosen based on you have the best show. It's just your number came up, right?
Yeah.
Which allows for some great stuff and allows
some
for
real
some
shit.
Not so great stuff. And that's kind of the beauty of it,
yeah.
Right? But it also allows for stuff that wouldn't ever get produced that's great.
Yeah.
So I think there's no better place. And for me, because I'm a lazy motherfucker, I never do anything unless I have some kind of outside deadline.
Yeah.
And so all three of my solo shows have happened because
you've had deadlines.
Well, for the last two, I've said, well, if I get a spot in the Fringe, I'll write the show. And I have.
Yeah.
And the one before that, I was talking to a promoter of a comedy festival. Somebody had recommended me. And so she called me up and I said, well, what are you looking for? Do you want like a set? Do you want like a one person show? And she said, do you have a one person show? And I said, yeah, it's like about an hour long. It's all these different characters. And yeah, it's pretty funny. I think you like it. And it's all these different women characters. And she was like, great, let's do that. And I was like, cool. And I hung up the phone. And I was like, fuck, guess I better write a one person show with a bunch of female characters.
I'm the same way. I'm like, oh yeah, I can do an hour corporate clean. Oh my.
Right?
Hey.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so you do have to put it out there. Just
Otherwise, I would just never do it. I will think about it. I even just today I was driving and I was like, oh, that's a good idea for a show. It will never happen.
Yeah.
But if I book it or I book a theater or somebody else is depending on me, that's why I work with other people.
Yeah.
Because then I won't let other people down, but I'll let myself down every time.
Oh,
so,
that's totally my quote.
So the Fringe is a great place to do that, right? Because you book it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get your money back. You pay your $700, $800 to get in.
Yeah.
And that covers all of your expenses and theater rental and everything. And then if you're like me, you'd be like, well, I'm not going to throw away $700. I guess I'll do a show.
Yeah.
You should do it. You should apply next year.
I think I will.
We'll do a cat show.
It's always like the 70. Yeah. I'll just have Kathleen on stage with a kitten.
A dirty, dirty cat show.
Pussy show.
Oh, I knew that. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh,
the
this
pussy
is
show.
Where we're going to go.
Is there another lady show coming up? I know you guys took the summer off.
We're taking the summer off. I'm not sure whether we'll do September or probably early October.
Okay.
Fringe is September and everything is usually really busy and whatnot. So probably early October.
So people can follow the lady show on Instagram.
Please
or
do.
Like
Instagram
it on
or go to theladyshow.com.
If you're
find
in Vancouver,
us on
you have to go. It's so fun.
It's real
fun. I danced.
Yeah, you
so
did.
So fun.
In
I danced.
A sparkly dress.
Oh,
even.
Damn. It was fun.
So I loved watching you have so much fun too, and
time.
That's what I love about the show is it's just it sort of feels like I don't know if you were this girl. My wife doesn't understand because I'm like it's like when you're a little girl and you made up dances, and she's like,
oh
what?
Yeah,
she doesn't understand. She wasn't one of those little girls, but you know what I mean. It feels like that of like let's put on a play,
yeah.
Only you know a little more production value, and we've been doing it for a long time, so it's better than when we were in elementary school. But
when
it's
I was
that
in,
same kind of joy. Right?
When I was in the third grade, there was a Mother's Day brunch, and all the students had to do a talent, so it was a talent show and Mother's Day brunch, And my mom came, and they were, all the moms were in the library sitting and eating, like, brunch.
Yeah.
And Kathleen comes out and does an interpretive dance to Wild Thing.
Oh, I love that so much.
She was, like, probably, like, 8 or 9. You know the movie Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah.
My mom saw it, and she's like, that's you. Yeah. You are Little Miss Sunshine.
Totally.
That was you when you were a little girl.
Oh,
like,
my
you
God,
were just,
I love that.
Yeah. So, like,
Shades of Things to Come.
Yeah. That's, yeah, totally.
That's
totally
so great. True.
And where can people find you online?
You can find me at morganbrayton.com. And then Morgan Brayton is my handle on all of the
Twitters and things. Instagrams.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, and you can follow This Is Bunbury.
Yes. I will be taking it. We'll have a picture of him on the little intro. This is coming out today. Like, they usually come out early morning. So I'm going to go send this off to my producers as they get home. And it'll be out today or early tomorrow morning.
Thanks for coming over and doing this.
Thank you for having me. You have such a lovely yard.
Yeah, come on over anytime.
I'm going to bring
dog
Gene.
Parties.
Yeah.
I'm so glad our dogs are friends.
I am going to have a first birthday party for him. And if anyone judges me, they can go fuck themselves.
Fuck that guy. No. Who would judge you for that? That's the best.
Mean people. My brother.
Wow. He's just jealous.
He is jealous of my amazing dog. Anyway, this has been so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I got to the end of the road. Burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life. Counting down to get from that fight. So I'm well, you all take the piss, and I'm living up my bucket list. And I live in the fast lane wherever I go, and I'll take all those chances before I get old. But I promise you this, I am getting my kids, so fuck you, this is my bucket list. And I'm living up my bucket list. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you.